30th chapter. And this is one of the greatest how-to chapters in the Bible. There are how-to chapters. How-to chapters turn me on. Doesn't take much to turn me on, but how-to chapters turn me on. And to see how men or women, go through the Hebrews 11. You look at Rahab, how that God's, her life was completely changed by the how-to of the scarlet thread, prophesying the blood of Jesus yet to come. A woman who befriended the Word, who befriended the men of God. You know, God blesses people that bless His messengers. I want to say that one more time. God blesses people who bless His messengers. And that's not just because I am one. In one way, we all are one. We need to be kind one to another. And that's what it's all about. But this morning, I'd like to spend some time on how to win over just an impossible situation. I mean, tragedy. Just absolute, downright, outright tragedy. You know, there have been some real tragedies in the world. I mean, you know, we're living in a generation where people just take an 18-wheeler and mow down some people on a sidewalk. I mean, that's the mentality of terrorism, or blow up a building. You know, it's like we've forgotten that over 3,000 people lost their lives in New York. That didn't happen, you know. It happened to the families that lost a loved one. And, you know, on and on the story goes. But here in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, the Bible tells us that David and his men returned to Ziklag and invaded the south in Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women and captives that were therein, that slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now, here's what happened. David and his men returned from battle, and I know some people say, well, they shouldn't have gone. Well, God didn't tell me that. I'm just finding some people that are hurting. I can't help what's happened to a lot of people before I met them. I can't help what's maybe happened to a marriage or a family or a businessman or whatever. But I'll tell you what, I can help you right now. I can help you by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word and through the Spirit. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. And when David and the people that were with him, they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Men aren't usually given to a lot of weeping. But these men, David included, they wept until there was just no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. And David was greatly, now notice in verse 6, David was greatly distressed. You're talking about ultimate stress here. You ever felt stress? David was caught right in the midst of that. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Well, absolutely. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And what I want to deal with this morning is how do you deal with disappointment? How do you deal with disaster? How do you deal with tragedy? How do you deal with loss? This is one of the great how-to chapters in the entire Word of God. And anyone who has ever preached or taught the gospel over any period of time has spent ample time at one time or another in this very same chapter, because this chapter as I have studied it, I've found things that I haven't seen before. Isn't that amazing? You can read the Word of God for years, and the Holy Spirit of God can open your eyes to see things that you haven't quite seen before. You know, if you read this book carefully, this book is the answer to every need of your life. There is not one need in your life or my life that is not met through the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. But it's amazing how many things are between words and between sentences. We read it too fast. Even the 23rd Psalm, you think you know it, I think I know it. But you know, there's a whole new revelation that God can give you through the 23rd, just the 23rd Psalm. Or the 91st Psalm. Joy has memorized the 91st Psalm, and through the years I've heard her quote it so many times and heard her teach on this, but it was just such a wonderful thing that she memorized it, and it was just a part of her very life. So how do you face, how do you win over total disaster? You say, are you doing an overkill there? If you live long enough, there'll be one of some kind in your life. For some of us, there have been many. And when you pastor over a period of time and go through all the war zones we've gone through, dear God, this is enough said there. But David and his men return from battle. It's time to relax. It's time to get a home-cooked meal. It's time to, you know, kick back. It's time to take it easy. You've been out being a soldier in battle. But everything's gone. Everything is gone except their own personal lives. Everything is gone. But the question that I had, what brought David back from total disaster? Can you come back? You can if you have faith in God. You can face anything and come out and come back if your trust and your faith is in God. It may knock the, it's kind of like taking a blow in the stomach. It may take your breath. You may feel totally immobilized for, but God's word right here has an answer on how to come back. This is a comeback chapter, a how to come back. So you better listen up, open up, take notes if at all possible. How did David lead his men in coming back? Definite strong points here. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now I can encourage you, your best friend, if they know God, can encourage you. A fellow believer can encourage you. But you know, here's the problem we've got. We've got this thing and we want everyone to do it for us. I'm going to tell you something. You need more than hands laid on you. You can have every, as Brother Hagin, you say, you can have hands laid on you until you have no hair left on your head. And some of you have given the Lord a good head start on that one. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. There's a faith for us to hold steady in. There's something for us to do. It's, well, I gave, but what? There's something for us to do. Just follow through with the Word of God. And that's what a church like this is all about. We teach you how to. If you listen to our messages, I mean, I seriously have gone back and checked on myself. I mean, sometimes a statement will catch me, and I say, whoa, let's see what about this. And I'm going to say, you better have a good pickup. You better have some good hauling space. You may need a U-Haul behind that pickup, because this church has been built on how to come through anything. If you hang around here long enough, you'll hear something that'll tell you how to face anything and come through anything. See, the grace of God has already provided that, but it's faith that energizes that. Hallelujah. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, what does this mean? Well, just to cut to the chase, I'm going to tell you, David got a grip on himself and manned up. There's nothing worse than a whiny man. My
my wife.
Come on, man up. Stand up. Be a man of God. Be strong in the Lord. Get a grip on yourself. Amen. I'm still breathing. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. The word of God still works. Man up. David seized upon good courage. He seized good courage. Dr. Strong gives us some real insight into this. David required. Well, I'll wait another moment here for that. But David just regained his faith by remembrance. Does anyone have a cell phone you never have to charge? If you didn't charge your battery, is it a lifetime battery that, you know, you can just run the radio or run whatever you do and you never charge that battery? You've got to recharge. David recharged his faith. How do you recharge your faith? By remembering the faithfulness of God. I went back to 19... In this message, I went back to 1964 before we put the key in the door of the old post office building. It looked like a rundown, dilapidated building when it was totally impossible and everyone said it wouldn't work. And even after we got in the building, they said it wouldn't work. David, piece by piece, moment by moment, crisis by crisis, tragedy by tragedy, opportunity by opportunity or after opportunity, begin to go back and remember the faithfulness of God. Wow. Wow. Could Moses ever forget the Red Sea? Could Daniel ever forget the lion's den? Could the Hebrew children ever forget the burning fiery furnace? And I believe David could never forget this moment. So really there's some key words here. I mean, I paraphrase the manned up, David manned up, but he seized good courage. He regained his faith by remembrance. You know, so many of us have forgotten that time when you said, my God, I've had it. This is it. It's all over. And you cried out to God, and God came through. And we forgot that. I don't mean we live on the past, but there's a time you need to recharge your faith in the now by remembering what God's done for you in the past. A time when he healed your life, your business, your marriage, your personal relationships. A time when God helped you. Amen. I remember that little Honda you had. God healed you from that Honda. No, I'm not trashing Hondas, but his Honda was trashed. It was trashed before he got it. And it was only faith that kept it running, right? You'd always have to park it down, you know, where you could roll downhill, right? You should have seen that little Honda. Dan worked in this church and volunteered for years with no financial remuneration. Had a place to stay and food to eat, and he'd be blessed from time to time. Dan's been around here for a few years. But you remember... You're not, I don't know where that car is. I don't see you looking for it though, huh? You don't have a thing for that great car you had at one time, huh? You recharge your faith in the now by remembering the faithfulness of God, how God came through, how God helped you. You know, none of us would be in this room today if God had not been faithful. Amen. None of us would be in this room today. You say that's a bold statement. No, it's an accurate statement. And so he encouraged himself. You know, I imagine David thought, oh, that was a bad lion I took on. That was a bad bear. Man, Goliath, you should have seen him. Here's little David and big Goliath. I don't have all the weights of his spear, and he even had to have someone hold up his shield. His shield was so heavy. I mean, this was a bad guy. But there's always a place in Satan's armor that he didn't prepare for. And the word of God, you're a rock to find it. Excuse me, I've got to finish this, and I've got myself all fired up here. Satan is not impossible to bring down. Your situation is not too big for God. I mean, I haven't taken on a lion lately, have you? I haven't taken on a bear lately. I sure haven't faced a Goliath lately. I have spiritually, but not physically. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, when people are talking about stoning him, all of a sudden David is getting happy, saying, God delivered me from the lion, and he delivered me from the bear, and he delivered me from Goliath. There's no hill for a climber. Come on. Quit wimping around. David encouraged himself. Encouraged himself. God help me to finish this. Secondly, David sought a sure word from God. Sought for a sure word from God. He called for the man of God and the ephod. I don't know that I have full understanding about that, but I know that that was a way that God communicated with people in that economy. And it obviously worked. God's always had a way to get his word to us. We just don't have time to wait until he gets it there. I want to say that again. I'm plowing deep this morning. Amen. Praise God. A sure word from God. He said, call for the priest. I'm calling for a sure word from God. You know, we were hardly, a year, 2 years into the beginning of this ministry, and they asked me to preach in a conference out in Arlington. People that were involved with it, they're all deceased now. But they asked me to speak, and one guy with a shaky prophet's voice, thus saith the Lord, you're to go home and resign your church, and you're to leave. He's still alive. No. And I felt about as much agreement with that as me jumping off a cliff, you know. I felt nothing, no leading. You know, you get a prophecy, don't quit your day job. If it's of God, it will come to pass. Amen. And I'll tell you, I was hardly home, and there were some people from our church that went to hear me that night, especially two ladies that really, those were women of prayer and women of intercession. They've gone on to be with the Lord too. They said, Pastor, you didn't receive what that man said. I said, just cool it. Everything's fine. No, I didn't bear any witness to that. Whew. We've just been praying all the way home that You know, I was much younger then. I thought that might just blow me away. But stubbornness has always kept me. Stubborn faith will see you through. If you know you're doing what God called you to do. But you see, I also remembered, you know, you've heard me say it so many times. I had held a meeting and had a complete call from a church to come to Austin, Texas. The pastor had passed away, and precious man of God, up in years. Came back to Fort Worth, and Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin was in a meeting. He said, you can either go in God's permissive will, or you can wait for God's perfect will. And that was a sure word from God for my spirit. 2 years later, we started, and it's worked ever since then, since 1964. You know, some people are guided by flaky words, and you just can't be guided by everybody's bright idea. You need a sure word from God. And if there was ever a time we need sure words from God, it's in this day and hour. We really do. So first of all, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he sought a sure word from God. But now there's a third one here that I have never seen before as many times as I have read or ministered from this portion of God's word. David inquired of the Lord. One thing that brought a breakthrough here Wednesday night was that people not only knelt. You know, most people pray, they would come down on one knee and come up on the other. If there's any kneeling, there's not much kneeling going on nowadays. You said, well, we don't have altars. We have them all the way across here. Check your vision. All the way. Not little short daubers, but I mean all the way across here. And you can make an altar out of a pew. But it's not the position, it's the reaching out to God. The Bible said that David inquired of the Lord. And it, according to Dr. Strong, it means to consult. I mean to have a real heart-to-heart talk with. To pray, that's simple. To ask strongly. Strong desire. And church, I want to just throw it out. I mean, I'm not here to build weak saints. I'm not here to. I mean, the only thing that's kept me through these years is a faith in God that keeps getting stronger and stronger. Amen. It's a DNA that came to me from childhood. Praise God. But I think of Abraham and Lot. You remember when Lot, the opportunist, went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, socked it to Abraham, took the green-watered plains, left Abraham with those old brown, parched plains. But he heard that Lot was taken captive. You know what Abraham did? He got 318 of his household trained servants. They weren't casual folks. They were trained servants. And they went after the enemy, and they whooped them. And they set Lot free. But you remember, Abraham interceded from 50 down to 10. Interceding with God. We've got to have a new wave of real, genuine Bible intercessors. So many of the kids that are coming up nowadays, my heart goes out to them. Thank God, I'm not in hell today because I had a mama that knew how to pray. And she had her hands full. But I'm just reaching out. Prayer builds strong marriages. Prayer builds strong believers. Prayer will bring your kids back in. Train up a child in the way they should go. Well, you just can't make them do anything nowadays. Man, I was in a place yesterday, I'd give them anything to be a parent for 5 minutes. God have mercy. Okay. I mean, everybody, you know, when everybody in the place is turned around and say, oh, my God. You know, when it's that bad, you know, you got a problem going on. And the parents just did not know what to do. Jesus. All right, moving right along here. But you see, Abraham, he could have said, well, little rascal, he deserves it. He gave me the short end of the stick and left me with the burned plains. But he interceded. And if there had been 10 righteous Sodom, even Sodom and Gomorrah, as crazy as that place was, those cities were, would have been saved. And I just say to parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, we've got a responsibility on our hands. They need more than phones. They need more than toys. They need more than fun trips. They need you to be more than their best friend. Some kids, their parents are such good friends to them, they can't tell them a thing. There's a time you've got to be real. Amen. But here's what I'm saying. Abraham cried out to God. Moses, you remember in the Old Testament, Moses said, when God said, I've had it, when God says he's had it, somebody's in trouble. Because God's a God of mercy and grace. You better know he is. But Moses cried out and said, God said, look, I'll just wipe them all out and I'll raise you up, Moses. It'll be Moses.com ministries. You know, you'll have a magazine and an airplane. You'll have it all, bud. I mean, you're going to be the great man of God. Moses said, no, God, you missed the point. You wiped them out. The world will say you brought them out, but you couldn't bring them in. Wipe me out if you're going to wipe them out. God changed his mind. See, what does that mean? I don't know. Just read it and believe it and go on down the road. Amen. Moses said, no, God, what an ego. What an ego trip Moses could have been on. How great I am. But Moses said, no, God. The world will say you brought them out of Egypt, but you couldn't bring them into the promised land. And I remember the Apostle Paul said, would that I could be a curse for my own countrymen. Paul had such a passionate burden for his own Jewish people that he said, that I could be accursed for my own people. When you get to praying like that, man, you're serious. How long has it been since you've prayed a prayer that broke the back of words? How long has it been since we've prayed? You say, well, I just give anything to see something. Well, would you really give anything? Would you really pray anything? Would you really spend some time in prayer? Would you really cry out to God? Folks, America's on fire. This is the craziest nation I've lived in since I was born. Everybody's mad. Everybody's mad at everybody. We've got to have God. Our nation needs healing. Our nation needs God. My God, we need God. Mama. But when David inquired of the Lord, really that's Isaiah 45:11 stuff there. You take off your shoes when you pray a prayer like that. Concerning the works of my hands command you me. That's a real verse, but you better know what you're doing when you pray it. It's kind of like fire and gasoline. You better know what you're doing when you got fire around gasoline. But it's time we pray some on-fire prayers for our nation, for our city, for our families. You say, well, it just seemed like things just won't move. Try some fasting and prayer. Isaiah 58, read it. I've been doing some fasting here lately, more so than I normally would do. It doesn't mean you have to go on a 40-day fast. It's amazing what you can do. I know Dr. Hagin, he said, you know, I found a good strong 3-day fast is a very strong situation mover in my life at any time. Or you take a day from sun up until sundown. Just do something lest you do nothing. Do without something to show God you really mean business. You can't buy it, but it just goes with the package. Jesus even associated faith. But this kind cometh not except by prayer and fasting. There is an answer to prayer that does come through fasting. So when everything is totally upside down, impossible, a total tragedy, David encourages himself in the Lord. He recharges his faith by remembering. Some of you just need to go home and get a legal pad out and start writing down all the times that God brought you through. All the times that God helped you pay your bills. All the times that God brought you through a difficult situation. I've talked to some of you that have lost loved ones here. And oh, I'm so proud of people who just say, God's helping me. God's helping me. And those that have lost loved ones, they say, what do people do who don't have the Lord? They don't do much. They hurt. They hurt. But thank God, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's not a train. It's the hope of God for our hearts and our lives. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. He sought for a sure word from God, not a flaky friendship prophecy. David inquired of the Lord. Really, the bottom line of that is, really, Dr. Strong concludes, to ask, to demand, to require. You say, well, I wouldn't do that with God. Well, that's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother series right there. Get yourself ready for it. No, you better not if that's the way you feel about it, but if you're best friends with God, you can ask him anything. If you're best friends with God, you'll ask him the right things. You'll pray the right things. You'll have the right boldness at the right time. And what this is, it's Finney, Dr. Finney said, definite prayers bring definite results. A song that I used to hear years ago, how long has it been since you talked to the Lord, revealed your heart's hidden secrets? How long has it been since you called him your friend? How long has it been since we've spent some time with God? You can't depend on the pastor to do it all. You can't depend on your best friend or your wife or your husband. There's something for you to do, and that's to reach out to God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He sought for a sure word from God, and he required of the Lord. But here's something that I hadn't noticed, the correlation of this. After he inquired of the Lord, I'm telling you, there's some people that are going to take this message seriously. There are some, they're not mad at me, they're not mad at the church, but they'll forget it by the time they get to lunch. But there are those that are going to take this message seriously, and you're going to see some mountains move, and you're going to see some people change, and you're going to see some family come back to God, and you're going to see some breakthrough, and you're going to see some financial breakthrough. You're going to see some miracles, because God's a miracle-working God. After David inquired of the Lord, they found an Egyptian in the field. Somebody's got the... God has an answer. God has an answer. It may seem like there's not an answer in sight. There's not a solution in sight. There's not a breakthrough in sight. But there was an Egyptian in the field. Now, how did that work? When they found him, they could have killed him. He's an enemy, right? But they sowed seeds into his life. And excuse me, let me be a pastor for a few moments. God knows the seeds. This church and this ministry has poured into people's lives for all these years. The man's dying. They left him. His army left him. They said, let him die. Save our own hide. We've got to run. He said, and they fed him some, well, let's see what it told us, grapes and figs. And they nursed him. His spirit revived again. The man's dying. He's starving. He's sick. And so they fed him. And they sowed seeds into him. And then when he could talk, they said, by the way, we've got a problem. Do you have any idea where your people are? He said, do I know where they are? He said, they left me for dead. I'll show you where they are. Hallelujah. You know, when God speaks, it's so simple, you think, duh, why didn't I see that? Yeah, I'll tell you where they are. I know exactly where they are. And so by the time they get there, Satan always overloads his mouth, always. He's not as smart as you think he is. And so after they had burned the city and stolen everything they had, now they're partying. Boy, is the world given to that nowadays. Everywhere you look, it's whiskey and wine, whiskey and wine. My God, have mercy. Everywhere you look. Go out the rodeo. It's everywhere. We had our booth moved. Got a whiskey cake where we used to be. We're in another aisle now. But you know, when I look at this man and I look at his army, they said, we don't have anything to worry about. And so they were just, man, they were throwing a party. They got drunk as a skunk. They were laying out on, you know, they were just having a great old time. And by the time David and his men got there, man, it's a piece of cake. They're in no shape to fight. The whole bunch of them's drunker than a skunk, you know. And they just wipe them out. Just take out. And it took them 3 days to get the spoil back. You got you a front end loader for the spoil? Maybe two front end loaders. Hallelujah. Hey, the devil's drunk on himself. We're drunk on the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said, we're drunk on the Spirit. We got the new wine, honey. Oh, we got the wine, the right wine. Praise be unto God. And the Bible said it. Oh, I could preach this another 2 hours. You know, when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Lord, should we pursue and overtake them? Well, if you overtake them, what are you going to do then? But God said, yeah, you pursue, you overtake, and without fail, you shall recover all. If you got a Bible, you ought to hug that book right now. Because God has said, pursue, overcome, and you're going to recover all. Whoa! Hallelujah! I'm just having too much fun this morning. There's a very serious side to what I'm saying, though. It's time for breakthroughs. It's time for breakthroughs. It's time for miracles. It's time for signs, wonders, and miracles. And the Bible said that David recovered all. Hallelujah. David recovered all. I believe I'm preaching to a crowd that is going to get this, and you're going to recover all. Hallelujah. So I want to say it another 2 or 3 times, because I'm through as soon as you get it. Praise the Lord. Amen. No matter what the devil has stolen, no matter what the devil said, no matter what the devil has done, he's a defeated foe. He's drunk in the field, honey. He's pickled. He's drunk. He's out of it. We got the sword of the Spirit. We got the shield. We got the sword. We got the Word. We have the grace of God. It's God's will that we win. Thank God for the grace of God. Oh, praise God, praise God. Well, that's it. Did you get it? Did anybody get this morning? No matter what the devil said, no matter what the devil's done, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, encourage yourself in the Lord. Recharge your spiritual batteries by remembering all the former things God has done. Get a sure word from God. Where do you find it? Well, we happen to have a book full of it. I said, we've got an Old and a New Testament. Hallelujah. And we can inquire of the Lord. And when we pray, things happen. I said, when we pray, things happen. When we pray, things happen. Hallelujah. Are you ready for happenings? Are you ready for Holy Ghost happenings? Spirit breakthroughs? Miracles? Well, is there still a shout in the camp? What are we going to do about it? Pray. Get a word from God. Go for it. Pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be unto God. You see, this is more than just preaching. It's more than words. I've ministered life this morning. I've ministered the life of God. God's word works if we'll just take time to work it and believe it and embrace it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit helps us to just get it this morning. Thank you, Lord. I've mixed humor with what I've had to say this morning, but I'm very serious. It's time for breakthroughs. And it's not going to come by wishing. It's not going to come by this world system. It's going to come by the power of God. God, you say, I've got a great marriage. Hey, you haven't even seen what God has in store. God's plans for you are much greater than wherever things are right now. I said, God's plan for you, they're so much greater than wherever we are right now. God's the God of more. He's the God of overflow. He's the God of recover all. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you want to just lick the envelope, seal it. Just come stand with me here for a moment. Just by faith, send it on to heaven. Glory to God. 6:30 this evening. Be some more miracle breakthroughs. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. No whiners. No whining. Amen. Breakthrough, breakthrough. This is a breakthrough crowd. This is a breakthrough altar call. Hallelujah. This is a breakthrough altar call. your voice to God. Sign up. Sign up. Sign in. I'm all in, God. Hallelujah. I'm all in. I'm all into this, Lord. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho. I'm all in, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm seeing faith. I see faith in faces. Oh, just lift your heart to God. Sign up, sign in. I'm all in, God. I just want to salute, and I know everyone, some people have time restraints, but I just want to compliment. It's like you're driving down the road in your own red light empty. You didn't mean to be there, but you're there. And you see this service station, and lo and behold, the price is right. They have gas, and their price, as you remember the last two or three stations, the price is right. And your red light is... getting ready to be light too, right too. And so you pull in the station. You either have cash or you have credit card. And you look at the pump. And you think, well, it was nice to be in a gas station today. I believe I'll just drive on down the road. And then you run out of gas about 3 miles down the road. Think, I wonder why in the world I didn't fill up when I could. That's what happens to a lot of folks every Sunday morning. This world will drain your battery. It'll drain your tank. And so you got the card or cash. You have the means to do something. You got a station. They have gas. Your red light tells you you're not far from gas can walking down the road. And you say, well, it's sure nice to be in a gas station this morning. Sure was nice. Nice to be in a Shell or a Texaco. It's nice to be in a QT. It's nice to be in a station this morning. And you just drive on down the road and say, I wonder why I ran out of gas. I tell you what I want us to do, right? I'm doing my best to get you to sign up tonight, this morning. Lord, I believe, I stand on your... I'd like for this message to have been a little smoother. I thought I was going to do a radio message, but God said, get down, get down. Amen. Every need of your life, it's God's will to touch you, to help you, to strengthen you, to meet your need. You've got the cash, you got the card, you're in a gas station, you're where the fuel is. Just fill up. Just fill up. Just say, Father, I receive, I receive, I receive. Right now, I receive. I'm not going to leave this gas station, go a few miles down the road, wonder why I ran out of gas. I was where there was all kind of gas. But I just drove out. Let's reach out one more time and just say, Lord, I receive this message now. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. Father, we receive this message. We receive this message. We receive this message. And by the grace of God, we're going to see miracles in the days to come. Physical miracles, mental miracles, financial miracles, marriage miracles, breakthrough miracles, investment miracles. Oh, whatever the need is, we're going to break through. Hallelujah. I receive, Lord. I fill my tank up in the... Oh, fill us to overflowing, Father. Hey, hey, hey. Woo! Fill us to overflowing, Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thine the glory.